All right. Hello, everyone. Good evening. I am on Skype with Paul, but he has stepped away. He is, of course, not used to speaking in this environment where he's not physically with people. We were chatting a little bit on how he might, get the speaking to happen, right? I mean, like he might usually, when he's with a group of people, be prompted by a question someone asks or something. And oops, and I just lost him. Hopefully he'll come right back. And when I mentioned, some of the things that you all are interested in, like A Course in Miracles, Ramana Maharshi, Nisargadatta Maharaj, et cetera, et cetera, he goes, okay, let me go get the course. And the course will give him something to, to kind of prompt his speaking. So he jumped up just about the time Ken turned the mic over to us. And now Skype just fell through. So let me try calling him back. He is back from going to get his course. He might not be because he's not answering. So I'll just wait a second and then try again. But if you all do happen to have questions, I think that he'll find that very, very helpful. In fact, this is why he only signed up for a 2-week mini-series, because he just didn't know what he would talk about for 4 whole weeks without, without people there to interact with. And it was his choice to come in through Skype. But we also find that even when some of our mini-series guests come into the sanctuary where they can see you all, everybody tends to be very quiet. And probably one of the most common things I hear from our mini-series guests is that it was difficult for them because there was no interaction. And people nowadays are so used to interaction. So that might just be something that we kind of want to take, and maybe we can help future mini-series guests by interacting with them a little more on the board so that they feel like there are people there. Let's try Paul again. There he is.
Yeah, somehow we're losing the signal.
Yeah, we lost connection while you went to get your course, and so they know that.
Not even need it, so let's just go.
All right, so Paul, if you're listening, please feel free to go ahead and begin.
Well, hello. Thanks for having me. See that people were calling up or talking about the idea of selfing, and that they have been selfing all day, or selfing has been driving them crazy. And I'd like to just sort of clarify what I meant by that word, what I mean by that word. So my view is everything here is an activity. As the course would say, I don't like the word using nouns, so the course would say, you are the dreaming of the dreaming. To me, I believe that's what's happening. It's everything is a verb here. So I believe the mental process is in a verb, and that is the act of being identified as a self. Now, when you hear that from our usual head, it sounds like the verb is the act of being identified, and then there's a self that we're identified with, a thing. Or a noun. It's a whole, the act of being identified as a self. So from moment to moment, the mental process is in the act of being identified as a self. And when it's in the act of being identified as self, it presupposes it was a self before the act of being identified as a self. So now you think you're doing the identification as a self. The bondage is not the selfing. The bondage is the sense of being the one who's selfing, or the one who's being screwed up by the selfing. That's the act of being identified as a self. The great master Ramana Maharshi, in many of his writings, he says the same thing in different ways. It's not his writings. People wrote about him. And the statement is, there's a presupposing of a non-existent thing that wants salvation for the non-existent thing. Now, if you just pondered that, you would turn off the station, I think. But let's say you continue. So presupposing, so there's an assumption that you're a long-lasting, independent, separate entity. That's what the mental state is in. The mental state and the thought system is assuming, implying, insinuating, presupposing that you're a thing, that you're a body. And not only that you're a body, but you're the doer of things you have absolutely nothing to do with, that you're the seeing, that you're the hearing, but not as seeing, but as a hearer and a seer. So the act of being identified as self, what selfing does is it implies that there's a someone. It's attempting to convince what really is so to take itself to be something it ain't. And this is the selfing. So the feeling of being the one who has an ego or the one who's lost the ego, that's the selfing. The bondage is not ego, no ego. The bondage is there's a singularity that precedes both of those events, having an ego, losing an ego. So that is the selfing. It's an activity. The beautiful thing is, you're not an activity. You're in activity now. You're manifesting, but you're not of activity. So you can see an activity. Most of the time, believe in the selfing, looking from the assumption of activity. You're looking from the idea of being a historical someone. From there, you may even be starting for what you are, but you're searching for who you are from what you're not. It's never going to go anywhere. It's going to go a lot of places, but you're never going to arrive at where you already are. It's not going to happen, in my view, because it hasn't happened yet. The whole point of the selfing is to see it as something other than you. Because if you see it as something other than what you are, you can entertain being free from it. If you keep looking from it as you, you're going to entertain being free as it. To me, that's another spiritual slavery, basically. So, there's a part in the course I'll read, because I read it yesterday at a meeting. And when I feel like I'm talking to imaginary people over a line, I like to prime the pump with something I like. So this is a statement in the big, in the Course in Miracles. Let me see where it is here. So it comes from chapter 22, Salvation in the Holy Relation. I hope I have it here. Yes. So it's on page 460. It's the third paragraph. I don't know what it's about the first sentence, but I'll read it. Yet we have heard a very similar description earlier, but it was not of you. So I would imagine the course was describing what we're not, obviously. And a very, very good description of what you're not. I don't know where it is. And I'm not an expert on the course, so I didn't look it up, really. So, but still this strange idea, which it is an incredibly strange idea that you're a thing. Yeah. Which it does accurately describe, you think is you. The only way what you are could get to the point of being the you that it's not, seemingly, is through thinking. The thinking is what makes an impossible idea seem to be possible, and it's the thinking that reinforces the idea. Yeah. So, reason would tell you, you could say wisdom would tell you, but the course likes to use that setup. Reason would tell you. Reason would tell you that the world you see through eyes that are not yours, these eyes, ways, obviously, ways that are seemingly in your head. These are not yours, must make no sense to you. To whom would seeing such as this send back its messages? Surely not you. So obviously, just the beginning of this paragraph is making a distinction. We are something other than what we take ourselves to be. And it's in really describing what you're not, that's the way you'll find out what you are. You cannot find out what you are from what you're not. What you're not needs to be sort of questioned or negated. And then in that negation, nothing else needs more to be done because you are that which you've been looking for. It doesn't suddenly become you are that which you've been looking for. It's like St. Francis says, well,
he's frozen. Hopefully it will unfreeze. And I lost him. So let me try calling him back. Call was dropped. Hey, sorry, the call got dropped, so.
I should have warned you anyway. Because I have a me in technology. Seriously. In times.
That's okay. I believe you. That's so Alicient, and I think you're going to be patient. You live in a technological world. Things happen. And you may have just got frozen again. We'll see. I wonder if I should call him and we should do this on the phone. Are you able to? Yeah, it dropped again. Let me just call him on the phone. We will just shift since he says he's not good with technology. See how he feels about doing this on the phone. He may or may not like it. We'll see. It's Regina. Would you like to try the phone?
Yeah, let's try the phone. Maybe more
reliable. All right, let's go ahead then. You are on.
Okay. All right, let me go back outside. I can't see people. I might as well see them.
Yeah, you might as well. Water sounds.
Well. See if it keeps working out here.
There are 21 people here listening to you right now, not including. Including the ones on the radio, so there are.
All right. Let me. If you're still there, let me start where I just was. So, to whom would seeing such as this send back its messages? Obviously, not you. It says not you, whose sight is wholly independent of the eyes that look upon the world. If this is not your vision, what can it show to you? That it's not your vision. That's what it can show to us. The brain cannot interpret what your vision sees. This you would understand. The brain interprets to the body of which it is a part. To me, that's one of the most important statements. The brain interprets to the body of which it is a part. But what it says you cannot understand, yet you have listened to it. And long and hard you try to understand its messages. You have not realized it is impossible to understand what fails entirely to reach you. You have received no messages at all, you understand, for you have listened to what can never communicate at all. Think then what happens. I will not think then. I was then and what happened. Well, if you pause, but think then what happens. Denying what you are and fervent faith that you are something else, this something else that you have made to be yourself, becomes your sight. Yet, it must be the something else that sees, and as not you. That to me is a form of looking, that when something else is claiming to be the seeing, that's a form of looking called self-centeredness, which I humbly believe is blind to the seeing of what we are, yeah, or the seeing as what we are. It must be something else that sees, and as not you, explains its sight to you. Yet vision would, of course, render this quite, unnecessary. If your eyes are closed and you have called upon it to lead you, asking it to explain to you the world you have no reason the world it sees, you have no reason not to listen nor to suspect that what I can't read this thing it tells you is not true. Reason would tell you it cannot be true because you do not understand it. To me, that's all talking about recognizing that we're in the act of identified as something foreign. Because I remember when it hit me, I was about 9 years in the program of recovery, and I had looked at, we used in the program recovery in the text, the word self is used quite a lot. And it says being convinced that self manifested in various ways is what has defeated us, and so on and so forth. But it's very clearly in the text separated. The us is different than the self. So there's many us and there's one self, not even one self. There's an activity or a parasitical movement that I like to represent as selfing. Now, it defeats us by manifesting in our lives. And if you listen to people share about some of its manifestations, like resentments and fears, they will say, these are my resentments, my fears. At that moment, they're demonstrating that they're in the act of being identified as a self, because at that moment, they're claiming self-expressions as their result, their own. So the bondage is an activity. The freedom from bondage is before the activity, not after the activity. Before the activity, it's seen as an activity, and therefore it stops. Seen from the activity, it's taken to be a fact, and then you want to get freedom from it. But the freedom is prior to it. See, I believe humbly, again, the mental state is playing with it. Doesn't go the way we think time go a linear. As Ramana said, there's a presupposing or a non-existent thing. What happens is the mental state supposes the doer and a thinker and a feeler have us, but when it supposes that right now, there's a presupposing of it. You feel like that before supposing happens. You feel like you're a self before the supposing happens. That's the greatest trick of all in time. That which comes after, which is sense of being a person, is implied to be before the real sense of being something here, which is consciousness, in coming, tasting, and touching. So as soon as the selfing that comes after is implied to be before, you now feel like you're the one who's seeing. You're the hearing, you're the one who's tasting, you're the one who's touching, and that's the bondage of self. It's an activity. If you see it, you won't be looking from it. If you're looking from it, if you start looking for the truth, you'll be blind to the truth, because what's looking right then and there is what you're looking for. So I wish we could see people there so we could talk, or I'll just keep riffing.
Okay, and
there's a famous Zen master I like, Huang Po. You cannot use the Buddha to seek the Buddha. Yeah? Now, you can use the Buddha to seek anything else other than the Buddha. You can seek for a latte, you can seek for a pair of pants, you can seek for a date, you can seek for, you know, a better mattress. Right? And you would find it. But if the Buddha seeks for the Buddha, it can go on for eons and nothing will happen. So if I'm in the process of seeking for the truth, I mustn't believe that I am the truth. Yeah. I mustn't believe that to be motivated and driven to seek for it. There is an act of being identified as something other than the Buddha that causes the Buddha to seek for the Buddha. When the relief it's hoping to get from finding the Buddha is always available at all times, because it is the Buddha. That's the message. The message is not moving towards the truth. It's recognizing that you're not that which thinks it has to move towards the truth. Yeah? You're not that that thinks it has to get into the moment, because the fact is you've never been out of the moment. And it's not that that thinks it has to get itself, because you've never been in self. It's just an activity that makes it seem to be so. If you see the activity, you won't be looking at its effect. From its effect, yeah? You won't be trying out of hypnotic. You won't be trying to get into what you've never been out of. Yeah? You won't be looking to find something that's unbeatable. You'll be busily searching for shit that can be found.
All right, question. Is that okay?
Thank you.
Lord. All right. So one of the things that we practice is self-inquiry. And let me just demonstrate how we practice that, or how I practice it. Let me just start with me, because there are, you know, different ways of doing it. So, for example, when I'm settling down, I might notice anything. I could notice the birds, trees. I could notice ringing in the air, anything. And I just, for a little, then I start to, where I'm noticing from, I guess you could say, I start to be aware of awareness. I start to attention that what I'm looking at is the object, but I'm the one looking. And I just kind of let my attention rest there with that. With that acknowledgement, with that noticing, what is your feeling about that type of practice?
If you feel like you need to do it, you better do it.
All right. Tell me more. Tell me why you said that.
Because you're playing God. So if God has set up an obstacle course to get back to God, then you better learn how to jump over the obstacle. Yeah?
Yeah, I hear you. I'm listening to you. And
I'm not a believer. I don't think you become aware of awareness.
You don't think you become aware of awareness. Say more
no,
about that.
No, I think you're awareness already.
Let me ask you this. Do you perceive a difference between what, you know, what Eckhart Tolle might call unconscious and conscious people? You know, like people who...
Of course you can perceive that, but perceptions are invalid. If you follow the course, they're not.
Yeah, I know, but I think what I'm trying to get to, you know, like, I guess what I'm trying to get to is, you know, like one of the teachings is everybody's already awake. And yet, at the same time, you know, even though everybody's already awake, you know, people do some pretty crazy things. You know, like the last news article I saw before we came here, Paul, was, you know, about some guy who got into a traffic thing with a girl and pulled a gun and shot her. You know, so, you know, he's just listening to his anger, believing his thoughts, and just went all the way with them. And then, you know, a person who is genuinely on a spiritual path is beginning to notice these thoughts, but not believe them, not follow them. You know, we call it rest, accept, and trust. Rest the mind, accept how you feel, but just remain in a state of trust and not act on that. And so sometimes the teaching, everybody's already awake anyway. People are running around just believing every thought that shows seem helpful in any way.
Well, that's like means for the action figure. That's all.
Okay, go ahead and talk more about that. I'd like to hear from you on that.
The action figure has its predilections. Yeah, everyone is inherently awake, but here you can seemingly be awake to that, or you can seemingly be asleep to that. So seemingly means it's appearing to be true or false to you. To me, your reality, yeah, not you, but you, we're reality. Just like we say in recovery, false evidence appears real as an acronym for fear. But how could false evidence appear real unless it appeared real to what's real? Yeah? That's the only place, that's the only way possible false evidence could ever appear real. It would have to appear real to what's real. This is dreaming, yeah? So now here, awakeness is dreaming that it's asleep. So, all right? It's not asleep, but it seems to be asleep. It believes it's asleep. So therefore, in that state, then there needs to be something to be done. Yeah? But as the Course would say, everything that's worth its salt is going to lead to I need do nothing. So why not start at I need do nothing? Yeah? But I find most of what people are doing as spirituality is just managing the action figure, basically. Spirituality doesn't need any fucking shining, doesn't need any polishing. It's always bright as hell at all times. And you can seem to be awake to that or not, but it doesn't change the fact. Yeah. So one person, yes, and it's also the idea of letter thoughts. If someone's house is on fire and they're getting burnt, I'm not going to sit down and tell them there is no house and there's no fire. I'm going to show them where the nearest pail of water is, yes? And maybe when the fire is out, then he can entertain or she can entertain other possibilities. But you have to address where you seem to be and do what you need to do at that moment. Mm-hmm. But is there you doing it? Is there a person? I don't believe so.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that.
I don't believe it. So basically, I don't do anything, tell you the truth. I look for a latte, I order a breakfast. I do that. But I'm not, self-inquiring, just like I felt you implied it was, you do it until you hit that sense of being and then you rest there. There's no more need to inquire at that point. Well, maybe the rest or that point becomes always available at all times. So what would seem to be a valuable means for someone else could be a disservice if you're at another point, yeah?
Let me make sure I just heard you correctly. I'm not sure I did at all, so let me say this, and you may have to correct me. So are you saying that for one person, you know, like, they resting in awareness is perfect because they, you said you're not aware of awareness, but you know you are that, or word it that way. So resting as awareness is perfect.
Well, actually, you know what you're not, you see.
Okay, you know what
you're not. Knowing what you're not is, that's what you are, is the knowing of what you're not.
Yeah, I get
that's
that.
That's exactly what I am.
Yeah, I get that. I get that makes perfect sense to me. And so for someone who doesn't know what they're not, like that who pulled the gun and shot the girl today, you know, whenever he did it, you know, he doesn't know what he's not, or he never would have pulled that gun and shot that girl. So So for someone who doesn't know what they're not and they're on a spiritual...
Well, I'm not a true believer in that statement you just made.
Okay, go ahead and tell me why. Tell me why.
Because, first of all, I think people get taken over and people are just a possibility. I believe there's mental winds blowing here, such as greed and malice and this and that, that seek expression here in dreaming, and they come to us almost like a portal. So like alcoholism takes people over.
Yes.
So when it takes someone over, that parasite is more of what they would call them than they are at the time. And there, the parasite is the thing that's living more than they are at the moment. Yeah?
Yeah.
And I bet that guy, after he killed her, is going to be in a whole different mindset. And there'll be tons of guilt and remorse will arise.
Right.
Because what happened, he was powerless over it. Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that. But would you also agree that he does not yet know what he's not?
But this point of not knowing, this is the beauty of mind, being a mind. In the dreaming, this is what his script may have demanded for it to lead to a point where he does finally know what he's not. Yeah?
Right.
You don't know.
Right.
Him going to jail may be the greatest temple he'll ever go to.
Right. I understand that. But
yeah.
Yeah, he even turned himself in. So, you know, he's already taking those steps, you know, to...
So the dreaming, all I know is when mind's dreaming here, big M mind, it produces value out of shit. It can take the worst thing happen and make it the best thing that happened. Yeah?
Yeah?
There's no rules that are holding it in place. It's the dreaming. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get
you don't know what, you know, like we look at one scoreboard, like Kansas City, here, there. There's a lot of scoreboards going on. Like the course says, what you call success is a failure, and what you call the biggest failure is your biggest success. That's how extremely bizarro it can be here.
So again, for the person, so let's talk about the person on the spiritual path. Let's just think of them, I'll tell you how I think of them, as a bridge. A bridge is happening. They're on a bridge walking from fully believing themselves to be like all of those energies that take, and now they're starting to learn to step back, they're starting to look, they're starting to learn that is not what they are. But if they're still on the path, if they're still on the bridge, then it means the realization has not occurred yet. They're moving in that direction, but it hasn't fully hit, which is why they're still walking on the bridge. Do you agree with that?
Only in the dreaming.
Yeah.
So that would be you and I are dreaming yourself out of the dream, and the dream will get after. But okay. See, the thing is, The warnings to me, which are the best spiritual stuff, are warnings. The warning is this, the mental process is claiming what's ever happening. Yeah? So, Randy, it said beautifully, he puts himself in inquiry, but I'll just state the problem as Ramana has many cases. He says, there's a priest or a non-ex that wants to get to the thing. And spiritual practices, setbacks are reinforcing the non-existent thing. How can they destroy it? Yeah? So walking over that bridge, there'll still be a strong sense of being the one that's walking over the bridge. The bondage of self, that activity is still underlying current over the activities to sort of get out of self. So it's claiming everything that it says now comes after it, by saying it's before everything. And there's no process, I believe, in this world, in time, that can outdraw the self. The only thing that can outdone that gunslinger is timelessness. And that's our inherent condition. And we are not going to reach there. We're reaching out from there all freaking day.
All right. So if I'm hearing you correctly, then... boy, the way I'm hearing it is spiritual practice is not necessary or overly, and yet at the same motivated to it. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, that's what you're doing. And of course, because it intends for it to work, it will, but as the course says, it takes a whole lot of long time.
So what's...
And if it works itself, it's going to lead to the realization I need to nothing. All the somethings to me are going to end up with totally nothing. Why not start at nothing? That's my view.
And by nothing, you just mean just going about whatever life is.
Just basically ordinary conditions,
right,
of just being aware, being aware of consciousness, basically, yes? Because the conscious contact is happening all day, and then there's awareness of that. What we're trying to do is become conscious of awareness.
Okay, now wait a minute, because now I thought I heard you say something different earlier, so now I just want clarity. So, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it's the words. Earlier I was talking about being aware of awareness, and I thought,
yeah,
I thought I heard you say, I don't think you can become aware of awareness, and now...
No, you can't, but you can sense the awareness of consciousness, for sure.
Okay, so tell me what awareness, and maybe the words are being used differently here, tell me what awareness and consciousness are as best as you can.
The absolute context is awareness. Consciousness is happening in context.
All right. Yeah, that's really good to have asked your question, because that changes everything for me then, just understanding what those words mean to you. So,
yeah.
So you would say we can be aware of consciousness then?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, perfect.
We're trying to be conscious of awareness.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
I get it. Now that I understand what those words mean to you, I get it totally. All right.
It's a different direction.
Yeah.
Almost everything here is misdirection. So the misdirection of selfing is it's an activity that implies to be the one that's doing the activity or doing all activities. That's the misdirection. Yeah. You're starting from what came after, and then maybe seeking the before from what came after, instead of just having what come after be negated, and then realizing you're seeing what comes after from the before.
Yeah.
That works for me. The other methodologies don't work. And you know, they work on a lot of levels, but they don't work on the level they can't work, which is you cannot produce or achieve what you already are.
All right, so let me repeat back again what I think I'm hearing. You tell me if I'm right or wrong, okay? So what I think I'm hearing is that it is helpful, again, to notice what you are not and to begin to negate that, right, to see that you are
not. Yeah, you'll have understanding, but that's not the vision.
Yeah, but
understanding is helpful, for sure.
Okay, so that's helpful. And then the other thing that I heard you say that is helpful is to, I hope I get the words in the right order here, to be aware of consciousness.
Well,
yeah, so just remain aware of that.
What's happening is the mental state is misdirecting it and saying it's you that's aware of consciousness, all, which causes you to seem to be unconscious.
Say that again, please.
You see it? It's the mental state arising and claiming the awareness of consciousness as Paul is aware of consciousness.
Oh, yeah.
As if Paul is doing awareness.
So the mind
Paul is conscious and it wants to become conscious of awareness.
Yeah.
You see, it's all the misdirection, all of it pivots on the idea of Paul. Yeah. Because now you're looking at everything from a false reference. And that false reference is now giving meaning and distance and direction to everything else. So instead of seeing life is happening, you have an interpretation, life's happening to me.
Right.
Quite different.
Yeah, I understand that. I hear that. Let's see. I think I have a question here from Kathy. Kathy is saying, the misperception then, I think Kathy is saying, the misperception is that Paul owns the awareness of consciousness. Right? That's the misperception.
Yes. Well, it's just being misidentified. So the act of awareness is being claimed as an act I'm doing, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? It makes up a story. And the story becomes that which has all the other stories. It's sort of like Dracula going on a vampire hunt. He'll kill every other vampire to protect its own vampire. So, a thought claims to be the thinker of all the other thoughts. So now that thought, in a false way, feels elevated to another position, and then as soon as you think you're the thinker of the thoughts, there's an assumption that you should have some power over the thought, and then frustration occurs quite a lot because the thoughts don't seem to be listening. And yet you assume, how could they not be listening to me if they're my thoughts? Yeah. But the fact is, it's not so. Yeah. You know, you can say, all right, I'm the thinker of these thoughts, so tonight I want the thoughts to stop at 11 p.m. That's an important day tomorrow. And they can start at 9 a.m. the next day. I need 10 hours of thought-free time. Will you please? Obviously, I wouldn't even ask the thoughts to give it to me. I would command them, because they're my thoughts. All right? All the thoughts drop into thoughtlessness for 9 or 10 hours. Then you can come back, you know. But does that happen? No. But there's a strong assumption that what comes after me has some silver. I should be able to manage and control it. That's the ultimate frustration here. Because it's not so, because it's a thought trying to manage other thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah, so again, if I was to put this in a different set of words, and once again, feel free to tell me if I'm right or wrong, or hearing you correctly or incorrectly is what I mean by that. Any sense of control is a mistaken identity, is a sign of mistaken identity.
Well, there's not a sense. The sense of control is usually imaginary. It's the drive to have control that's the activity.
Yeah. All right. The drive to have control then is missing.
Yeah, we're trying to manage all day. Like we in court recovery, we call it playing God. The head is constantly playing God all day. It can't play God on a large scale, but it definitely plays God on your seeming life. Yeah, it tells you how the day's going to be before you're even out of bed. So I guess thinking this about me, you have no clue. No one's thinking probably anything about me. But you're constantly, you're totally sure that they're planning something against you. It's all made up. It's it's just playing God. And the point is, if you go to someone who's playing God, quit playing God, so therefore that which is playing God tries to quit playing God, that ain't God. You can never get out of it. Yeah? You're not going to get out of the God playing by God playing. You got to see that which is playing God isn't you. Yeah?
All right, so that which is playing God isn't you.
Isn't you.
Yeah.
It's the thought system. It's the mental processes. So if you pay, if that which is playing God gets this message, it's going to steer it like an order. Quit playing God. So now that which is playing God is going to quit playing God. That's playing God. Ad infinitum. You can't get out of self as a self. You can't get a solution from the system that's producing a problem. This is the dilemma. People want to be there to experience their own absence. It's not available. Yeah? People want to get the message. It's not available to you to get the message because you are the message. Yeah?
And so what about when a change in experience begins to happen where, for example, there isn't so much drive for control. There's much more just being with whatever is. I mean, that's still within the dream, true?
Yeah, but that's traveling lighter. And in this dream of a dualistic dream, there's heavy, lighter has a much nicer touch to go through than the heavy.
Yeah, of course.
Of course, but that's the action figure. Non-duality has no value in itself. It's here it has value because it can seem not to be available. Yeah, like Jesus says, you're in this world, but you're not of this world. So we're in this world seeking for what we're of in the world. If we would just realize what we're not, you would get the sense of what we're of. And you'd realize this is a place of expressing what you are, not trying to achieve what you are, or arrive at what you are, or get more of what you are.
Okay.
You would see it in a whole new way, and without any sort of effort.
And how does one express what they are?
Holding space, you know, being available, because they are the present, so they're always of service, a lot of ways.
Right. If anyone else has a question, please let Paul and me know. I'm very, very happy to pass anything on to him. And you saw how joyful he was when I had a question. I'm sure he'd be just as joyful with your questions. And one thing that
I don't like questions usually, but it's weird. I'm just talking out to the ethers here. So,
yeah.
In my house. Usually I'm all right with it, but today I'd rather just jump in the water here. I don't know how it's doing.
Well, like I said, right now we do have 22 people present. So there are some people here. You know, we have like Kathy and Lynn and Amy and Sharon and Dove and, you know, Kate and Connie and Cynthia and George. And, yeah, it just goes on and on. Yeah, there are definitely people here paying attention. but I think one of the things that to me is interesting, Paul, is that, again, you know, some of the ways that you express things are a little bit different than some of the ways that, you know, we within our own internal group express things. Some of the questions, you know, might just be if anybody feels confused by the fact that Paul is just expressing things differently, please do not be afraid to ask until you get clarity. I mean, you've watched me just sit here and say to him, okay, let me repeat this. Tell me if this is right. Let me repeat this. Tell me if this is right. And this is helping me get a lot
of clarity. Well, it's not right. It's just my understanding at the moment.
Well, that's what I mean by...
If we talk tomorrow, it'd be different maybe.
Yeah, that's what I mean by right. Am I hearing you correctly right now? Because that's important, I think, you know, to make understanding. So,
the thing with the selfing, when you shared it with me, was important, because that's a common report I get back, where people get the idea of selfing, and then they call me or they email me and they say, I've been selfing all day. But that's not the self. The selfing is the feeling that comes after or during the selfing, that implies before, that you're the one before doing the selfing or being done to by the selfing. That's what I'm talking about as the bondage of self.
All right, so let's look at that, if you can, with a concrete example. Like just a moment ago, you said something about, if you feel like you're not talking to anyone, you'd rather go jump in the water. What's the difference between that thought and selfing?
What's the difference between that thought?
Yeah, but
there was no thinker of it.
There was no thinker of it. It was just said. Okay, here comes a question.
The fact is, there's never been a thinker of it. It's not a heroic act that you pry the thinker off the thoughts. There's never been a thinker of it. It's just recognizing the obvious.
Okay, but would you say that Paul would rather jump in the water than talk to people the majority of the time, or just in this moment, or how would you say that?
Well, it's gone now.
Okay, that's what I expect you to say. All right,
And then it was only actually joking, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's okay.
Mostly what I say as Paul is a part of a giant, long comment.
Yeah, but I totally understand what you mean by it's gone now, because things do come and things do go. I get that. That happens to me. I realize that. Kate has a question, so let me read Kate's question or statement. She says, the Course asks us to undo beliefs. Can someone just wake up from hearing your message, or do we have to spend time on the timeline to see that beliefs are not true?
It could be both, and it's really neither, because you are inherently awake. So you're not going to wake up to being awake. You're going to just wake up to that which thinks it's asleep. Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You're going to see that which is assuming it's asleep or needs to wake up. See, one of the greatest gifts that's happened is you get freed from the need to be liberated, because what needs to be liberated isn't you. Yeah.
Right.
You get freed of it. I swear, I have absolutely no interest in what most people call spirituality.
Yeah.
Not one iota of interest in it.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I just want to repeat back what I think I heard.
But these are effects. I'm not talking about this as a fact. These are effects. Yeah? Changes. Everything else doesn't change. And everything changes. But if these aren't effects you can produce, they're like effects that happen. Yeah? I'm just reporting through this little specific multi-tinted lens, how it seems to have affected this event, yeah? That I've been allowed to travel lighter now for quite a long time over the terrain of my life, which can be just the exact same mountains and valleys as was before, but I travel lighter over everything. And over a period of time, as the seeming action figure, that was way more than enough, yes? Way more than enough. So, I mean, the idea of enlightenment, look at what happens, maybe it happens in your groups. People would be so much better off if they never heard the word enlightenment or awakening, because it's so funny, because when the mental state claims the word enlightenment, awakening, it uses it to produce more agitation, which is the exact opposite of what is implied by the statement enlightenment and awakening.
Yes, yes, yes. That I understand.
That's not a random event. That's a habit. That's what the mental does. It uses whatever it comes in contact with, and there's nothing off limits to it. And claiming is going to happen at a fucking very, very high speed. So you're going to be, before you know it, you're going to be looking from the entertaining of the act of being identified as a self. You're going to be looking from that which came after, but now you imply to be before. You're going to be looking from that. And therefore, if that which comes after is now that which is before, then what is before has to be seen to be after. And that's what motivates and fucking rationalizes the pursuit or the seeking for it. As if that which you're seeking, it comes after you, when that which you're seeking is prior to you. Yeah?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, I don't know if that was clear for everyone, but that's clear. That which you're seeking cannot come after you. I get that. That would be chasing your tail. Would you agree?
Well, it's the Buddha seeking the Buddha.
Yeah.
Light seeking light. Mind seeking mind. That's the fundamental speed bump. It's the fundamental of our lives. Yeah? It keeps replicating itself over and over and over again. And then we have some topics we feel are different than all the other topics of life, and that they should have an immunity to this little effect, but they don't. I was in recovery doing for a while, and we put up on a website, and other people outside of recovery started getting in touch with me. Then I started going to other groups that weren't based on recovery. At first, I wasn't motivated really to speak to them because I didn't think, they should have been having a good old time, basically. They don't have any addiction. But then I saw the spiritual addiction very clearly. And the problem with spiritual addiction is there's no intervention, Someone isn't going to come into the next satsang room and pull you out of it and say, you've had enough and put down that DVD and shit like that. But the mental state is demonstrating its addictive nature in spirituality just as much as a drug addiction, to tell you the truth.
All right, I have another question. Hal has a question. His question is, why did the Buddha say enlightenment can only happen at the human level?
I don't know. You'd have to ask the Buddha.
Okay, yeah. All right, so we'll just let that one go. Okay, here, Tom is saying something. One thing that I heard Paul say that I have not heard other so-called spiritual teacher say is that he is in no hurry to leave this human life. You have any comments on that?
Well, yeah. The way you get out of here, realizing you've never been in here, yeah?
Mm.
So you look like you're totally here now, not because you're totally here, but you realize you've never been here, yeah? If you were here, and this was a real place, it would be incredibly righteous to want to get out of it. But you realize you cannot escape an imaginary place. So the escape here, like the great wisdom of no escape, is there is no escape. Yeah.
Well,
once you see you're not what you take yourself to be, this action figure is the Urban Renewal Project gets canceled, man. And now you're just chilled out.
Right. So when you're when you're traveling lightly, you just enjoy what's here. You just enjoy being present.
For sure. Yeah. For definitely. Most definitely.
Yeah.
Most definitely. You're available.
Right.
You're not going to get gifts, that's for sure.
Right.
I mean, literally, you're not going to get gifts. You're going to be presenting all the time,
Yeah, like a good movie.
Well, even if it's a bad movie, it's really well made, so it's a good movie.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, a good movie has ups and downs, and, you know, it has everything in
it,
right?
Yeah. But, I mean, really, I talk about this a lot at the groups I do because, you know, I wasn't the best spiritual practitioner. You know, I probably could have done more retreats in different continents, seen more teachers, held my breath longer, whatever, stayed on my leg longer. But one thing in life I would match against any other devotee of any other way of life, and that's drug addiction. I would put my addiction, my devotion to drugs, cocaine specifically, and I would match it against the great devotees of spiritual history, like the Monkey Man or whatever. I'd be right up there because I loved fucking cocaine. I gave everything for it. I took everything I could get from you for it. I could not live without it, no matter how obvious it was I needed to. I mean, I was totally, totally, totally devoted to it. And I'm telling you, you cannot transcend an imaginary place. You are never going to get out of here as you're taking yourself to be. Well, it's not. You're not leaving.
Can you just say that last two sentences one more time? Because I'm not sure. I think the sound just got garbled. I'm not sure I heard you. You can't leave and then finish that.
As that which you take yourself to be.
Okay.
You're not there at the body.
Okay. Got it.
You're not going to be there to get it. You're not going to be. There isn't going to be the voice called Paul having a hallelujah. That's where after it claimed it. Yeah, claimed what we truly are. You're not going to be here to get it. Simple as that.
Well, and Paul at the end of the story dies. Do you agree with that?
Well, there wasn't a Paul, so right. Yes, but
yeah.
Something ends, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, something.
But the thing is, who's going to experience Paul death? Not Paul.
Right.
Going to be dead. Other people.
Right. Okay, well, we only have 2 minutes left, so you've made...
Now I'll go on and on. Now you've got me fired up.
So I need to call you an hour before we get started. No, I think it probably worked a little better once we got on the phone and just started chatting. People right now are beginning to show appreciation. And you know, you're still scheduled to come back next week as well.
Oh, yes, I forgot that.
Yeah, so next week at the same time.
Well, you may not want me to come back. You'll have to take a vote.
So let's take a vote. Do you guys want him to come back or not? We'll see what they say. But what I was going to say is next week we'll just go straight. Yeah, they're already saying, yeah, I knew they would love him. Yep, yes, please come back, et cetera, et cetera. So,
Thank you. Yeah. It's nice to be appreciated.
So I wonder if I can take it. Hold on. I'm going to see if I can get a screenshot of this. Let's see. Shift. I'm trying to remember how to do a screenshot on the. Is it FN? Oh, shoot. I wish my daughter was a control shift. All right. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I did drop the mic, but I was just telling him I'll call him on the phone next week and we'll just go on. So thank you very much, Paul. It was great. And I will call you next Sunday night. Do you need me to text you to remind you?
Please.
Okay. I'll text you like Friday or Saturday to remind you. And then I'll call
you
on Friday night.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Regina. Bye.
All right, you guys. So that's that, and what I am going to do now is release the mic.